My goal in running again is quite simple. I took 4 years off. I wanted to spend a little more time with the family. I really wasn't planning on running again for office, quite frankly. When word got out that Donna Todd Rivers was not going to seek re-election, to be quite frank, my phone blew up with calls, texts, Facebook messages, people saying, hey, would you take a look at it? And after a pretty thorough conversation with the family and friends, we decided that it was a good time to do that. So through this campaign, we'll be talking about a lot of issues. We'll be talking about experience. This is the interview for us as candidates for the residents of Ward 5 to determine who is going to be best to serve your needs and interests. And I certainly have 12 years of experience of responsiveness in government, getting things done, not just talking about things, but actually accomplishing them. And I'll talk more about that as we go on. Thank you, Larry.
Thank you. Now, Eugene Maselli.
Yes. Graduate of Pitzer High School, 17 years old. I always liked politics. And as we're going along in the city, I really didn't like what was going on, even right now. There's no transparency. There's none of that. It seems like things are all going all over the place. I believe in honesty. I believe in a good ward counselor, just like I was in the school committee and the Building Needs Commission, which we got millions of dollars to renovate those five schools. Saw them all through. Every Friday, every Tuesday, we were there interviewing people, talking to all the teachers. That's the way it's got to be in the city of Pittsville. You are not an island. You are not one city councilor. You're a group of people trying to get this city to get going. Now, how come a little person like me can find out all about General Dynamics and what they're doing here? It's quite a story. Thank you.
Thank you. Can we call you Gene, or the people call Gene or Eugene?
Okay. Sometimes I don't answer Eugene.
Okay. Now we'll hear from Patrick Cavey. Pat.
So my name is Patrick Cavey. I'm running for City Council in Ward 5, as you all know. I was born and raised in Pittsfield. I'm a graduate of Taconic High School's Academy of Business Management. I went on to graduate from Westfield State University, where I received a Bachelor's of Science in Business Management. While attending university, I was promoted to the store manager position at Ben & Jerry's South Street location, where I was awarded the Manager of the Year Award, an international award given to those who have shown outstanding management skills by Ben, Jerry, and the Chief Executive Officer, Yostein Salhem. Shortly after, I moved to Denver, Colorado, where I was an assistant general manager. And after literally and figuratively climbing mountains out west, I decided to move back east to pursue my master's. After coming back to the area, I applied to multiple professional jobs and went back and forth between not seeing a job that was specifically in my field based on my degree or was appropriate based on compensation. So I had an internal dilemma. Do I do what most of my friends have done? Do I leave the area? Do I go to Boston? Do I go to New York? Do I search for work elsewhere, or do I try and fix the problem? So I chose to stay and try and fix the problem. I have big ideas for the city. I have big ideas for Ward 5. And I thought to myself, how do I bring those ideas to fruition? I could go corporate. I could try and grow a company, instill some positive change, some social activism. I could get into politics or the arts. And I feel that right now, the right direction is politics. There's a lot of momentum building underneath the surface of the city. I believe we are headed in the right direction, but to get from where we are now to where our vision is, we need the right leadership. We need to come together as a community and be the positive change we wish to see. We need new voices, we need new ideas, we need new perspectives. And I think together we can truly achieve greatness. Thank you.
Thank you, Patrick. And now we start with the topics and questions that we're going to go to all the candidates. So for the first one, we're going to go with the same order we just did the opening remarks with. First, Jonathan Lothrop, and we followed by Gene Maselli and then Pat Cavey. So here's the first question. Jonathan Lothrop, you get it. What are your reactions to the recently approved plan for outdoor cultivation of marijuana on Barker Road agricultural land. And try to keep, all three of you, try to keep your remarks down to about
Well, interestingly, Larry, in my role as Conservation Commissioner, which I have been on that committee now, I believe, for 6 years, we actually had that proposal in front of us. And there are some very strict regulations that are set down by the state. So there's a state licensing process. There's a city licensing process. I think, really, it's all about proper location. And in that particular location, it's a rural farm area with a R43 zoning, which means basically one-acre zoning. There really are no direct abutters. It's a large parcel, and only a small section of it will be used for that cultivation of marijuana. So in my mind, I think it was a good location. I voted in favor of it, and I think it's the kind of thing, frankly, that can bring jobs and money back into the economy of Berkshire County. It makes farmland more valuable. It gives jobs for people who need them, and it is a high-growth, high-margin industry, which is exactly the kind of thing, frankly, that we need to help our economy.
Thank you. Eugene Maselli. And if any of you want the question repeated, don't be afraid to ask.
On the marijuana, no. Why? I worked for Berkshire Medical for over 30 years, and I saw when coming time to retire, these kids were coming in, all out of it. Ambulances, everything. What I'm seeing now is a repeat of what's been going on, except it's getting worse. I'm sorry, North Street is nice, it's beautiful, but it's not the North Street I knew. You should be up there in the morning, you should be up there in the afternoon, you should be up there in the evening and see what's going on. It's not good. And it's not good these young kids are getting tied up with this marijuana. Where they're getting the money, I don't know. But you read the headlines the other day, that boy is just getting a little bit better. This is all from that. I can't see it. As for the city, yes, we got to start going forward, but that's not the way to do it. Look into this general dynamics. Look into this stuff that's going on around us and find out what's going on there. Those are the high-paying jobs. Thanks.
Thank you. Patrick Cavey.
So going off a little of what both of them said, I agree with Jonathan. I also would like to point out that if you look at how the tax system's set up, taxes from marijuana would go specifically to substance abuse, would go towards our youth, go to public education, education based on drugs, rehabilitation. I would probably have voted similarly and approved marijuana going in on Barker Road. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Now, next round. And this time we're going to start with Eugene Maselli, and then we'll go to Patrick, and then finally Jonathan. Next question. How would you rate the street conditions in the ward, in Ward 5, and City of Pittsfield in general? Eugene.
Well, it's kind of funny how suddenly the reclaimed blacktop is being put down on different streets. But what was happening in the past years when we were begging, and I was up talking, I went to the city yard, by the way, all my life it was construction, to ask them what was going on. You had to wait. We had streets that were terrible, holes, the whole thing. Yes, it's getting fixed now. Election year, everything gets done, of course. But this here, repair, just like the schools, you can't keep letting it go because it comes a major price tag on it. It's an awful price tag. Just what's going on, I don't like it. I think it is time for a big change in the whole mayor and city council. Thanks.
Thank you. Patrick.
So, while I've been walking Ward 5, I've noticed, especially when it rains, there's a lot of rocks, there's a lot of gravel going down the hills, there's not proper drainage, so I don't think the roads are in the best condition they could be. There's always room for improvement, so I've brainstormed ideas on how to allocate funds towards infrastructure. It was proposed to use marijuana taxes, but the state's kind of walking a fine line whether they should go towards education, infrastructure, what it should go towards. I've been looking at the state's plan for high-speed rail. High-speed rail gets truck traffic off of our main roads, then we can allocate the funds we'd normally be using to resurface some of our main roads to work on side streets. I was looking at our budget for salt this past year. It was very, very high, and we had a mild winter. So if we can trim the fat in some other departments, we could realistically reallocate some funds towards our roads that do need to be improved.
Thank you, Patrick. Jonathan?
Thank you, Larry. To be perfectly honest with you, this is an area that I actually think would be my focus as a Ward 5 city councilor. In the 12 years I was a councilor, we started with some roads that were in pretty tough condition. I think people will recall we were chip sealing main roads. We were chip sealing double yellow line roads in the city. South Mountain Road got chip sealed, I think, the year before I was elected. During that time, those roads don't hold up. Over the years I was in office in Ward 5, we did all the main roads. We did South Street, we did West Housatonic, we did Barker, we did Melbourne, we did a lot of the major streets. Since that time, I think the work has started to move more into the neighborhoods, which I think is what Gene was talking about, and Patrick as well. However, I really do think that we need to look at how we're allocating the dollars. In our $150 million-ish budget, historically, we've only been putting a couple of million dollars a year into street repair. And slowly, I think in the last few years, we've been upping that number and upping that number and getting closer to what we need to be doing. During a prior administration, there was a study done of the city street conditions, and they really said that in order to maintain our city streets, we need to be putting about $5 million into our street budget. And I think that's a number that I personally would like to see us strive closer to get towards, because I think it will address a lot of the day-to-day complaints that people have. When they drive over that pothole every single day, they get frustrated. So as a ward counselor, I do think there's some opportunities for us to look at with Commissioner Tarosi retiring. I think there's some opportunities there to look at how we function in public works. It's generally been underfunded, undermanned, and frankly, understaffed. And if we're going to address those issues, it's not just a matter of dollars and cents. You have to have people who can actually show up every day and do the work. And if we're running at half staff because we can't hire people, that's a huge problem. Thank you, Larry.
Thank you, Jonathan. In case you're just tuning in, we have our Ward 5 forum going on tonight. Three candidates going up for election on in September, so it's going to be kind of an interesting evening. Let's go on to round three of questions. Patrick, you're going to start this one, and this is aimed at you because there's a lot of senior citizens that are going to be out there casting their votes. I'm one. So the question is, what should municipal government in Pittsfield do to ensure Pittsfield is age friendly for the city's senior population? Patrick, you first.
Okay. I have a few ideas for our senior population. One of them has to do with parks and recreation, updating the facilities in Ward 5. Clap Park's already being updated. Osceola, maintaining Wild Acres, giving them outdoor space. There are a bunch of nursing homes in Ward 5. So, again, the Council on Aging does a great job. As far as a few other things, when I've been speaking to older residents in Ward 5 when I've been walking, I don't know if we'll touch on this later, but trash. I was speaking to an 87-year-old woman on Saturday morning, and I just can't, I would never want to ask her to have to move a 46-gallon trash bin from her house to the street, or a 96-gallon recycling bin from her house to the street. I think that trash reform could work. And solid waste management is important, but I don't think it's important if it burdens our elderly citizens. I think we should be doing everything we can to make the city a better place for them to live. One of my main points of my platform is education and retaining our youth. If we can give our youth the correct technical training, if they're not going on a college path, to be able to get into some of the jobs in the area and advanced manufacturing and make a livable wage, we can try and keep them in the area. We can lower the tax burden on our elderly. We have an aging population, and we really need to do our best to kind of stop our population from going down and having a sustainable growth again so that we can maintain, basically maintain the services that we give them now and hopefully in the future, do a little bit more for them. Thank you.
Jonathan Lothrop, you're next.
Thank you, Larry. I think that the role of the senior center in the city has been a critical one for certain populations of the senior population. It's been ably led for many years by Vin Marinaro and now by Jim Clark, and I think those are two excellent city employees who go above and beyond for the seniors in the city. But I think it's bigger than that. I think it's having a community. It's all about a community. It's about the people. It's about knowing your neighbors. It's about connecting with folks. It's about looking out for the elderly person who lives down the street for you. You know, my grandmother now is 91 years old, and unfortunately she just went into a nursing home. But for many years she lived alone after my grandfather passed away, and she didn't live in Pittsfield, but she had neighbors who helped out every day, every week, whatever it took to keep her in her home and keep her happy. She lived in that home for 53 years. And I think Pittsfield is that kind of caring community. I think there's a lot of heart in this community, and I think that what we need to do is just connect with each other and not get isolated. And I think in isolation is really the breeding ground for a lot of problems in our community. So the role of the senior center, bringing people together where they can talk about something that, you know, hey, do you remember when, Willie Mays caught that amazing catch in the World Series? You know, people don't necessarily always know who Willie Mays is, but if you go to the senior center, I'm sure they probably all know. So I think it's important from an affinity perspective to have places of congregation where seniors can connect with their community. And the other thing that is, I think, sometimes missed is there's an awful lot of wisdom and knowledge in the senior community, just willing and waiting to be shared with the younger groups. So I really would love us to see more connections with teens and seniors, and I know that Vin did some of that at the senior center, and I think that's a great approach to, frankly, help out some of the younger folks in our community to learn from, to listen to, and to acknowledge their service. So I think it's a community effort, Larry.
Thank you. Eugene.
Okay, now we're getting into the old timers. For the senior center, well, it's a senior center, he talked about it. I work there. I'm there part-time. I see everything that's going on, and I know what's going on in this city. The elderly, they don't need help. They want help. Whether it's you sit down with them and talk, I teach carpentry and woodworking there because I am a carpenter. They ask what they can do at their home, different things. A lady came in and she couldn't get her windows changed to back to where it was, the diamonds. I made them so she could put them in her windows. I said, now you call the company up and tell them to come on down. She did. We do a lot of things there and we actually work with them. For everything in that senior center, no matter what I help, I'll try to do things. We'll maintain locks, we'll maintain everything. As for the elderly, I went through something I thought I never would have to. My mother was getting bad. My son went down to the house. He wasn't married. Ended up, started on the dementia. And it kept getting worse and worse and worse. She had to go to the nursing home. So Berkshire Medical was fantastic with me. She'd call up all hours, all day, all night. I'd scoot down there. This is what happens at the senior center, some of those people. But you sit down and you talk with them, they're the nicest people in the world. Ask you what you do, you ask them what they did. It's fantastic what you hear, what they can tell you, what they can teach the young. They can teach a lot if you want to listen to them. But the senior center is the biggest and best thing going. I've stopped at some of the others. But Pittsfield's got a great one right here, and what's going on there, all the activities, everything there, from taxes, helping you with your money, grocery shopping, you name it. It's just fantastic. And the rest of it, sometimes I wonder about Pittsfield. They should be helping. We just had to order some stuff. Had to nitpick everything. I wasn't like that. I just order. I want this, I want this, I want that. We need it for the functioning of the two, woodworking and carpenter. So this year here, it was different. Gene, what do we need? This is what we need. Boom, it was done. It all came in. so we're still functioning. And it is the greatest thing in the world. Sure, I'm old, but I'm working with people that are older than me that love what they're doing. And every time I come in, hey, there's Gene. That is fantastic. Fantastic. And I think it's great. Of course, my mother was a little bit worse when she doesn't know you anymore. That kind of hurts. All of a sudden, here's your mother, doesn't know anything, doesn't even know who you are. But I was here every single day, every day after work, every evening, and that's how I am with these people at the senior center. I know. I've been there. I've been through this whole thing. And I know you got to care for the elderly, and you really got to care now for the young. That's our future right there. Thanks.
Okay. Well, we're back where we started, Jonathan. Jonathan is going to answer this question first, Eugene second, and Pat third. Now, I know during the campaign, for however long you've been campaigning, I'm curious to know, Jonathan, we're going to start with you. I'm curious to know what you have heard from the people in Ward 5. What have you heard? What's on their minds? What's bugging them?
Well, I think it boils down to some very basic principles, I guess. From a services perspective, people want to know that their public safety is being taken care of. They want to know that we have an adequate number of police and firemen. I'm still, you know, been in Ward 5 long enough to remember rotating station closings for the fire department. I can remember a time where we had an insufficient number of police officers such that they were being forced to work so much overtime that guys were getting hurt, women were getting hurt, and it really caused a problem. Same thing was happening at the fire department. And frankly, under this mayor, Mayor Tyre, there has been a concerted effort to hire more policemen, more firemen, and not just burn them out on overtime. Because when you get a call for service, you want the person showing up to you to be fresh and ready to go, and not like, oh gosh, I just did a double shift and I'm all burnt out. So I think that's important. People want good public schools. They want to know that their children are going to be safe and well cared for in those public schools. They frankly want to make sure that, you know, the garbage gets picked up. They want to make sure that their taxes are reasonable, and that, you know, they're not going to be forced out of their homes. So it's always a balance between trying to allocate enough resources to deliver those essential services while at the same time keeping the community affordable. And it might not be the most popular thing in the world to say, but I'm a man of statistics and facts, and any of you who know me know that I do my research and my homework. And the bottom line is Pittsfield is, for dollar, one of the least expensive places to live in Berkshire County. It's one of the highest value dollar delivered. Most of these other communities don't have garbage pickup. Most of them don't have a full-time fire department. Some of our smaller communities don't even have a full-time police department. So there is a perception, I think, that the taxes in Pittsfield are high. But if you really look at the statistics, if you move to Dalton or Lanesboro or Lenox, you're generally going to find higher tax rates. So I think it's really a value proposition where you have to incorporate the fact that, you know, we have a municipal water and sewer system. And that might be the most unsexy thing you can say in the world, but talk to somebody who lives without a municipal sewer system and ask them what Title V costs them when they have to replace their septic system. And it's $30,000 or $40,000. And oh, by the way, that'll last 20 years maybe if you're lucky. You know, those services that the city has have been the accumulation of 150 years of investment. And it's our job as a city council to maintain that investment and to push it forward into the next generation. The investments we're making now aren't for us. They're for our children and our grandchildren. And it's our responsibility to make sure they have that opportunity the same way we did.
Hey, thank you. Eugene, what have you heard from people in Ward 5? What's on their minds when you talk to them?
When I decided to run, that was done in the car, by the way. I was so teed off at what was going on. My wife says, why don't you run? Okay, I ran. I didn't hear too much, I'll say Route 20, Lebanon Avenue, up and through there, some of Barker Road. That was good. I don't know whether it's just a hangover of things not getting done, because I'm not used to working that way. I'm used to working the way we did on the school department and the Building Needs Commission, we set an agenda and we go for it. We had to go down to Boston, I hate to tell you how many times. But I don't understand where all this, you know, the taxes are for this, the taxes are for this, oh yeah, we're gonna do this and for later on. What we gotta do, we gotta deal with the problems right now. Right now, and we gotta, the taxes are always gonna be there, the taxes are always gonna go up. We can't lose the schools, the fire departments, and the garbage was a big rumble. We're gonna carry those big containers, drag them down the hill and drag them out of your driveway, and that was a joke. But we gotta use common sense in this city. That's why I say the city council, I don't know, if it, to me it's gotta be, gotta have a change. You gotta have a change. You've got to have good new stuff in there. We can't talk about, like I did. What are we going to do? What I want to do is make Pittsfield better, make North Street a millionaire's street, because it's a nice street. I remember it. I've been here all my life. Gee, it's a thing of the past. But General Dynamics, it's not a thing of the past. The schools are not a thing of the past. The schools are beautiful for Taconic High School. That's got to be the greatest school in Berkshire County. It's gorgeous. I've been in there. Of course, I'm an ex-vocational graduate, too. That started me on my carpenter trade, because you had all the angles, you had all the degrees, you had all the... So I say taxes are always going to be there. You've got to be able to help. You've got to be able to look at all this stuff. It's not going to go away. We've got to just work toward a better Pittsfield, period. And the mayor has to do the same thing.
Thank you. Patrick, what have you learned in campaigning so far?
Well, so knocking on doors is very interesting, the conversations you have with the residents. I've heard a lot about education, how we can improve our school systems, how we need to ensure that our property values go up. Like I touched on before, I heard a lot about our raising tax burden. So again, education, retention of our youth, how we stop our population from declining and have sustainable growth. Like Eugene said, GE is a thing of the past. We need to diversify the type of business we have in Pittsfield. The Berkshire Innovation Center is a great way to do that. I've heard a lot about trash, which again, we touched on. I've heard a lot about conserving our natural resources, which I strongly believe in. Part of the reason that I love living in Ward 5 is because I can be in downtown in a few minutes, or I can walk. I can walk to Wild Acres, I can go fishing, I can go hiking, I can go for a run in an area that feels like no one's around you, and I don't want that to change. A lot of people have raised concerns about solar panels in residential neighborhoods. There's a better place to put them. People just seem to be okay with our neighborhoods, but when we talk about crime, they don't want crime coming into the outskirts of Ward 5, and I think that's a city issue. So obviously crime is another big issue we talk about, and I'm assuming we're gonna talk about it later, so thank you.
Okay, Eugene, you're going to be the first one for this question. And, you know, you're running for election in Ward 5. You want to be the next councilor. It's almost like applying for a job, you know. And all the voters are going to be, they're going to be casting their ballots saying, okay, this guy's good. My question to all three of you, Eugene, you go first, is what specific experiences do you have that will make you an effective ward councilor?
Well, I think I'll... The experience I've had, well, first of all, the age gives you all the experience. You're learning everything. What I've learned at Berkshire Medical Center, it's just unbelievable. So all this you are learning, and you're gonna put this all toward the city because you want things to go right. I live here. I didn't just move here, I live here. So you have, not, well, it's a point that you want to make it better. And the only way you can make it better is by doing what we do as we can. We can help the city. I have got the knowledge. I have got the knowledge and everything from the school committee, from the Building Needs Commission, from where I worked. And so I think I've got it all right there. And as for the city yard and all that, those guys are doing a great job. I don't care. The garbage people, they're doing a great job. I see them all the time. I'm home. I see it. I see what's going on. And I've driven around. I've driven around this Ward 5, and it's not too good. So I want to change where they're going to be able to pick that phone up and talk to a live person and say, hey, you get over here right now, or you come on down to my house and we'll go over the whole thing. And that's the way it should be. Not too much of this stuff, and you never make a contact with the person. The contact's got to be made talking, just like I did. They voiced what they didn't like. Oh, we have an underpass on Jason Street. The bottom, the top of it, it's falling out. Big chunks of concrete. You remember the Boston tunnel where it fell down, killed a couple people? I went to City Hall just a little while ago, and I went to the engineer. That's the railroad's problem. It isn't the railroad's problem. It's our problem. We got to take care of this stuff. And then show everybody that we can do it, and let's get Pittsville going. We got to get going, not spin in the dirt. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Pat Cavey.
So I'm obviously the youngest one up here, the elephant in the room. But as far as experience goes, I have 7 years of management experience. I was promoted for the first time when I was 19. I ran a successful local business in Ward 5 and almost doubled the sales. Again, I was awarded the Manager of the Year Award, which was an international award given to those who have shown outstanding management skills. That was out of 44 countries. I have my degree in management, and I'm taking this very seriously. When I decided to run, I took the time to read the city charter. I took the time to go to One Berkshire and read their blueprint. I went through the entire website, the city's website, and read the master plan. I reached out to people who were in politics in the past and who are in politics now and asked them exactly what they do for work. I basically wrote up a job title for what I would be doing now. And I think that my age, gives me a different perspective than some other people who might not think the same way that I do. And I think we need to start looking at the issues in the city with new eyes. Thank you.
Jonathan Lothrop.
Well, thank you, Larry. I think this is an election about the future. And it's really an election about the future of Pittsfield. What direction do we want to take the city in? I will tell you that when I started as a Ward 5 city councilor, downtown was pretty much a ghost town. I have worked on North Street for 30 years. I'm a supervisor at the Department of Children and Families and Social Work, so I see all the issues that come up in the community. I have been in probably thousands of homes and apartments in Berkshire County over my 30-year career at the Department of Children and Families. I have met the families, seen the families, hear the stories. So I have a pretty broad understanding of all parts of the community. One of the things I have noticed in North Street and downtown in general is we finally as a community stopped tearing down our old buildings and we started reinvesting in historic preservation. We started not being afraid to invest some of our own money to leverage other money that could come in and help us. It was very controversial at the time, but there was $1 million from the GE Economic Development Fund that launched the Colonial Theater. That $1 million didn't affect anyone's tax rate, 1 cent, but what it did is it leveraged 22 other million dollars, created a beautiful art center, created a bunch of jobs, and took what was, frankly, a building that was in serious need of structural repair and brought it back to performance grade. So beautiful that people record in there. I was fortunate enough to go to the Arlo Guthrie 50th anniversary of Alice's Restaurant recording there. I mean, and that was broadcast, that's broadcast every Thanksgiving, which is a big, kind of a big thing. That was done here in Pittsfield. But that leverage also brought in Barrington Stage. We also did the streetscape project, made North Street go straight. You don't have to go around the horn anymore. Now you can go straight through on North Street. There's many aspects of the community where I think people think, well, that's all taken care of. Now we don't have to worry about it. But really, it's about continuing that progress. It's about the transition from a post-manufacturing economy that we effectively have here. And that's not just a Pittsfield issue. That's not a Berkshire issue. That's an international issue. If you look up the statistics, you'll see we still have a higher percentage of manufacturing jobs in this community than in most communities. It's down a lot from what it used to be. But there aren't too many communities that have 8 or 10,000 people working in a factory anymore because those jobs have been automated. So what we need is the creative economy. We need the educated economy. And we need educated citizens. Ergo, we need to invest in our community. I was very proud to be on the city council when we took unanimous votes to support and fund the Taconic High School. The Taconic High School did cost the city $30, $40 million, but it leveraged another $100 million in state funds. That's where we show our youth that we believe in them and we believe in our own selves and our own community's future. That's the kind of forward thinking we need to continue. We need to continue to invest in the infrastructure. We need to continue to invest in our youth, and we need to provide those opportunities for individuals who want to work and live and play in this community. But what's most important in the role for Ward 5 counselor, for any ward counselor, is to preserve, protect, and take care of the quality of life. And that's where zoning comes in, that's where permitting comes in, that's where a lot of the nitty-gritty work that comes along with that is done. I've had the experience of 12 years. I could list off a rattle of number of things I've done, whether it was an airport compromise that people said couldn't be done, whether it was a transfer station down an industrial drive, we got it done. Whether it was taking a small street that was so narrow it was dangerous and turning into one-way street, we get it done. Whether it was a noise problem at Ice River Springs, we got it taken care of. It took a long time. It doesn't happen overnight. But I have the tenacity, the persistence, to take on those projects. I know how to get it done, and I ask for your vote and support.
Okay, next question, we're going to start with Pat Cavey. Jonathan Lothrop will answer second, and Eugene will answer third. Do you think, folks, that recent revisions to zoning rules for ground-mounted solar apparatus are a way of protecting neighborhoods or inhibiting solar growth? And we start with Pat.
So we already touched on this a couple questions back. I completely agree with green energy, solar panels, but I don't think they need to be in a residential neighborhood. I think we have other places we can put solar panels, and it shouldn't be a burden on the residents of Ward 5. They shouldn't be worried about construction traffic. They shouldn't be worried about the negligence of the company coming in and whether or not they're going to mount the panels properly. And they shouldn't have to worry about what's going to happen when the company is gone in 25 years. I don't think it's appropriate to put solar panels in a residential neighborhood. Thank you.
Okay. Jonathan?
Thank you for the question, Larry. As a member, again, of the Conservation Commission for the last 6 years, we've actually voted on a lot of these proposals. Some of them have been approved, some of them have been built, some of them have been disproved. Most recently at Pontoosic, it was a unanimous vote to deny the permit because the application wasn't in conformity with the Wetlands Protection Act. But there are many other levels of approvals that need to have gone through. But your question is basically this. Should ground-mounted solar go in residential neighborhoods? The answer is no. And it shouldn't go in there for two reasons. The purpose of zoning is to protect everyone's property values. As a ward counselor, what I can tell you is most of the issues and the rubs that come up is when you have two abutting uses that are on a border of each other. You have residential abutting manufacturing or residential abutting commercial where there's noise or issues like that. So the zoning is meant to deal with that. When the last zoning review was done, there was no, you know, ground-mounted solar. That was something nobody could think of. So we had to update our zoning, and I certainly support that change because I do think that in the right place, it can be a good thing. If you're out in Barker Road and you're in the end of the city line there and you got 15 acres and it's surrounded by woods and you're putting a solar field in the middle, that would be awesome, assuming it meets all the other criteria. But I think to put it in someone's backyard and potentially devalue their property and, you know, their enjoyment, I mean, that's what the ward counselor's job is, to preserve and protect your quality of life, your property values, and frankly, your enjoyment of your home.
Okay, Eugene Maselli.
Well, solar panels are good, not in a residential area. I've seen, if you look on the telephone poles way up on top, that's where all the excess power goes, from these solar panels, from the windmills and everything else. They are a good thing. And we have one down by Silver Lake, of course. But are we benefiting from it as Pittsville? Are we getting power from it? Are we reducing our cost? Or is it going somewhere else? It's just like the generation plant that's built down on New York Avenue right next to Allendale School, which we dug that school out. There's no PCBs in the ground. Where does that go? And it only goes in and on at certain times. Well, it doesn't come here, but it goes the other way, the eastern part of the state. That's why we have to watch, really watch what we're doing and when we're okay in all this commercial stuff. It's going somewhere. But most of it is not coming here in Pittsville. Thanks.
Well, the director has told me, he says, try to finish up at about 10 of them because we have another debate coming up. But I want to end with closing remarks. And I probably didn't ask you something. You probably have something on your mind. So during your closing remarks, if you want to bring something specific up, please do. We'll make it short again. We're counting down. We're going to start the same way we started at the beginning with the opening remarks, Jonathan, Eugene, and Patrick, the way you are going to be on the ballot. So Jonathan, you first.
All right. Well, thank you again, Larry and PCTV and Berkshire Community College for hosting us today. I also want to give a shout out to my entire family who's here, who lives with us in Pittsfield, to Taconic Reed and Crosby school attendees. Very proud of that. Also have many friends here in the audience tonight, and I really am touched and appreciate your support and your being here tonight. I'm running this time because I want to make Pittsfield a better place. I think my 12 years on the council, if you look at those records, you will see quite clearly that I have had a pretty consistent approach in trying to do that. I'm an independent mind. I'm an independent thinker. I have pretty good analytical skills, and I'm pretty able to figure out what it is that needs to be done. One of the projects I worked on was the conversion of the city's health insurance from city self-insurance to the GIC a number of years ago. And I authored, along with the mayor who's here tonight, an authorized a study that showed we could save several million dollars. And we did do that. And the best part of that project was we gave the city employees quality insurance. It was done honestly, openly, transparently, in the public's eye. We did presentations. We invited the unions in for comment. Negotiations took place. But the best part was, Larry, we saved $2 million during the economic decline of 2007 and 2008. Now, why is that significant? Well, I'll tell you that a lot of communities were laying off firemen, laying off police officers, laying off teachers. We did not have to do that in this community. We were fortunate because through good management and solid analytical skills, we were able to deliver a quality service at a good price and maintain our services. That's what I'm all about. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Eugene Maselli.
Well, you're going to have to repeat that question. I'm trying to.
This is the closing remark segment. And at this point, if you think that I didn't ask any particular question or bring up a topic, go for it. But keep it short. That was at 90 seconds. Yeah.
Well, I think all the questions have been asked, all the questions have been answered. And my only thought right now is this hopefully this is going to do something good for the city council, and especially Ward 5. I know Ward 5 very good, and I'd like to see it become part of the city again, where we're getting things done here. Here we have Clap Park, here we have Osceola, here we have all the stuff. We dug up Clap Park, nobody's down there this year. Now, that's only here. There's so many things that could have been done to change that, all that digging up. Now, you blame the city council? I said I would. But anyway, everything I think is going to be going good. As for the politics, you heard it all tonight. I hope we can straighten things out and be a good city council and have a good rapport with the mayor. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Patrick Cavey, you have the final word.
All right, so like Jonathan had said, I'd like to thank my family for being here, my friends for being here, and all of you for tuning in. Kind of reiterating what I've said already, I think it's very, very important with a growing tax burden and an aging population to try and retain our youth. So again, I'm going to try and work on making sure students that aren't going to college have the right technical training so they can find a job in our economy that will ensure them a livable wage and benefits. It's really important for us as residents of the community to come together as a collective consciousness and try and be the positive change that we wish to see. I think that it's time Pittsfield had some new leadership, new voices, new perspectives, new ideas. I truly believe that if we come together, we can achieve greatness. Thank you so much.
And thank you to all three candidates, Patrick and Eugene and Jonathan. Good luck on the 17th, because that's going to be the day that you folks are going to vote and make your choice when it comes, when the polls open 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. The top two finishers in this group will advance to the November 5th general election. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. I'm Larry Kratka. Have a good day.